Welcome to the Fedora Project Podcast, Episode 5, Paul Friels talks about the Fedora magazine.
Welcome back to the Fedora Podcast, I'm Edward Lucena, and right now I'm here with Paul Friel, former Fedora Project leader, and now he's a contributor in several teams and is the chief editor of the Fedora magazine. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Edward, good to talk to you.
Good to have this conversation with you. The first question I have for you is for people to know, what is the Fedora magazine?
Yeah, so the Fedora magazine is kind of an outlet that was originally designed for just general news about the project years ago, but it wasn't heavily used for some time. And one of the members of the Fedora team, Ryan Lurch, kind of resuscitated it, kind of brought it back from the dead, and started writing news articles for general users of Fedora, just to show them like a cool application or an interesting shortcut or a tip about how to use their system. And we found that we started getting a lot of response to those kinds of articles. And so we use that as the basis for kind of relaunching the magazine and giving it a very specific focus, and that is entirely on Fedora users. So what we call a user for the magazine is not just a person who might use the desktop of the standard Fedora workstation, a web browser, or using LibreOffice. That certainly is one type of user, but we also are trying to speak also to the software developers who used Fedora as their platform of choice. We're also trying to talk to system administrators who are sharpening their skills by using Fedora. Some of them may be running Fedora for services in certain areas, or they might be using Fedora to see what is coming in the future for other enterprise Linux products, such as Red Hat Enterprise Linux or CentOS. So the magazine is a way for us to reach all of those people who are putting Fedora to use, as opposed to maybe focusing inward on the community. We are really trying to avoid those types of stories, not because the community is not important, but because we have so many other places for community members to read that kind of material. So we really want to focus outward on the very, very large audience of millions and millions of people out there who are using Fedora. Maybe they're even using another Linux platform. Maybe they're even using another operating system entirely, but they want to know that Fedora may be for them because they can put it to use in all these different ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Before the Fedora magazine was relaunched, it was called the Fedora Weekly News, right?
Yeah, a long time ago, there have been actually a number of Fedora news sites over the years. Way back in 2004, I think around 2004, 2003 even, there was a Fedora news site, fedoranews.org, and it was essentially just a feed of different information that went out that was somewhat automated in nature. And then later, the Fedora Weekly News was a site that was meant to capture information about discussions or work or events that went on inside the Fedora community and sort of wrap them up in a neat weekly report so that people in the community could easily read and consume that and catch up on what was going on, even if they didn't have time to read every email message or see every announcement, they'd be able to pick up on that news. And as it so happens, for a little while, back in, I think, 2005 or 2006, I was doing a Fedora Weekly News podcast myself, just recording it in the basement and sending it out there to Fedora contributors. I only did that for, I think it was for a few months. And what I kind of determined was the metrics weren't there to justify the amount of effort that I was putting into the podcast. What I've been really happy to see is that, you know, this Fedora podcast that you've been doing, Edward, with the Fedora marketing team, has been really popular, just like leaps and bounds ahead of, you know, what I was doing 10 years ago. So that's been really nice to see.
Well, thankfully, I have a lot of support for from you guys in the magazine and also from the Council of Fedora. So I'm really thankful that I being able to do this right now. We are reaching our this is our fifth episode. And I already have at least four more episodes planned that I'm already scheduled. And there are a lot of other people that want to, but I need to coordinate when to do the interview and have time to do the edition. A question I have for you is, when we had a Fedora weekly news, we have a weekly post. Right now, we have more than one post per week. Do you have in the magazine, we have a schedule to work, or we have specific days when articles are published?
Yeah, so we actually have an editorial board for the Fedora magazine, and I'm one of the editors on that board. Ryan Lurch is on it as well. Clément Verna has been working with us. We are always looking, in fact, for other contributors. Specifically, when you're an editor, one of your responsibilities is to attend the weekly meeting for the magazine. And during that weekly meeting, we figure out in advance a publishing schedule for the next roughly week to 2 weeks, depending on what other events might be happening during that time. So for example, the last meeting that I was at, which was about a week ago, because there are a lot of events happening over this week and next week, we actually planned out our publishing schedule 3 weeks in advance, which I don't think we've ever done before. We usually play pretty fast and loose and we're very flexible, but because there were a lot of people who were going to be away at various times, we decided to set up our schedule pretty far in advance. And what we try and do is schedule at least three articles a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We find that keeping up a steady cadence of articles is a great way to engage people. Having said that, though, you know, we're always happy to publish more articles. You know, at the time of this interview, we're talking right now, as of this week, on Tuesday, we had a few articles, including the release of Fedora 28 beta. Those announcements are always made in the magazine now because it's a very attractive site to bring readers to. It's a nice site to link from if we spread articles to Reddit or Facebook or Twitter or whatever social media that we hit. That way we know that readers are landing on a very nicely formatted, attractive page that makes the Fedora project look really good, I think, as opposed to having them land on a mailing list posting that is just kind of plain text, is not very distinguished or distinguishable from other types of projects. So it's a nice way for us to kind of lend a hand. So anyway, we have more than just three posts a week that we've done this past week, and we're always open to doing that. We just try and keep up at least a minimum of three a week so that we stay on people's radar and let them know what's going on in Fedora.
I'm assuming that this three posts per week schedule can be disrupted, for example, with releasing, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we plan for announcements around any major release. So the beta and the final GA announcement for any Fedora release, we always publish that in the magazine. That's the standard location that we link everybody to for our announcements. And that way also we can measure the engagement of people, right? If they come in and visit the post, we know how many people are coming to view the announcement, which is very helpful. And we also disrupt it for other reasons too, right? If there is a security announcement or some other sort of special event that merits notice, we will often do a quick post in the middle of the week. It might be, we might have two posts on one day. We might be posting five or six posts that week to try and bring some more information around it, right? An example would be the recent Spectre and Meltdown attacks, where we actually passed some news to the community as quickly as we could about the mitigation work that was going on to make sure that Fedora users and Fedora consumers were not only educated, but also could keep their systems up to date and keep them as secure as we can.
Yes, this was like the case that we have with Meltdown, this kind of security holes that need to be published as soon as possible so people can get everything up to date and keep informed of how Fedora is attacking this kind of issues. Also,
right.
I have a question. You mentioned that you are one of the editors. We have at least two other editors. But editors doesn't mean that you are the only people who write in the magazine. So who can write an article in the magazine?
Yeah, that's actually a great point. And maybe I'll take that in two parts. The first part that you mentioned, we have a few editors. We're always looking for contribution to the magazine. And, being an editor, it's not somebody who is blessed with magical powers. The only thing we look for in editors is that they have more time, to devote to the magazine, rather than to other contributions, because you do end up spending, a few hours a week typically on work, for the magazine. And we're looking for people who have incredibly strong English language skills. So they don't have to be a native speaker, but they must have a very good command of the English language, because we have certain style rules and other quality issues that we want to maintain on the magazine. So, for example, we want to have proper grammar usage. We want to have the articles be easy to read and that they follow a certain style. And so it helps if the person who's an editor has a really strong command of the English language in order to do that. But being an editor is not the only way to be involved, right? Of course, we always want writers. Writers can contribute an article really easily. We have an entire post on the site, or I should say a page on our magazine site that explains how to go through the process of becoming a contributor. And it's really not hard. You have to make an account, and then essentially you use the WordPress instance that we run, right? That's what magazine is based on, in order to write up your idea as a what we call a pitch, right? And because you're pitching your idea to the editors, and then the editors will either approve it or they might ask you to make a few tweaks or a few changes. Rarely we have to turn down pitches because they may not be good fits for the magazine or a good fit for Fedora for whatever reason. But for the most part, pitches generally get approved. I would say something like 80 to 90% of pitches are approved. Once the pitch is approved, you can draft your article directly on the site. It's very easy to do. It's using a standard WordPress interface. So if you know how to use WordPress or any editor for that matter, any web editor, it's extremely easy to write your post. You don't have to know any special markup language. The editors can help with links, and they can help with even with style or grammar fixes to make sure that your article looks professionally written when we publish it. And we'll work with authors on the draft to make sure that it's as good as it can be. And then the editors will provide a little bit of cover art for it and set up a publishing date for it. So it's a really easy process. And Edward, I will provide you the link. And if you have a way to include that in your show description or your show notes, we'd love it if you were able to do that.
Sure. I was a writer myself before the podcast. I have two or three articles beside my marketing task like the beta releases or something. And I can say this is not a hard process. I think the most important part is maybe to be able to attend the meeting when your draft is going to be discussed, to be helped by the team. And you guys are really, really good to editing this, all these articles. But an idea that comes to mind is if it's that easy to work, to write an article in the magazine, do we have a process or a guide when we can say what can be reading in the magazine or what can be not reading in the magazine in terms of, I don't know, maybe software licenses or reading articles about not Fedora related topics or something like that?
Yeah, so we actually have linked from the guide that I just mentioned is really about the process of becoming a contributor to the magazine. But we also use that article to link to an additional guide that kind of helps you write a good article. It helps you make a good pitch. And it also has a guide that shows you how to write your article as well as possible. And so between those two guides, we actually provide some help in understanding what will make a good article, right? What will make something likely to get accepted, as opposed to turned down. I think there is a common misconception, among new authors that if they show up to the magazine, that if they're going to write about a specific topic, for Fedora users, that it has to be, it can only be about 100% free and open source software, and that if it's not in the Fedora repositories, we won't cover it. And that's actually not the case, because we know that users out there are making use of a lot of different software, right? Fedora for them may be a tool, and it's only one type of tool in their toolbox, right? And maybe even open source software as a whole may only be part of their toolbox. So we try and allow room for people to make choices about what software they want to use. So for example, you might find, in addition to articles about Firefox, and some of the features that happen there, which, end up in the Firefox package in Fedora. Of course, Firefox is 100% free and open source software from our friends at Mozilla. You will also find, occasionally an article that may tell a user how to do something useful using Google Chrome, because we know that something like half our users, install Chrome on Fedora and use the official Chrome package for their web browsing, uses. So, you know, we try not to discriminate on those bases because we know that people who are using Fedora have different levels of they have different levels of tolerance for proprietary versus free software, and so we try to respect that and not make any judgments about that, but instead just try and offer people the information that they can use about solutions that they can run on Fedora. And having said that, we always prefer to receive articles about free software because it's easiest if people can use the tooling that's in their Fedora system already to install new software and use that to solve problems. So that's wonderful. But at the same time, we also don't require that software be packaged in that way for us to feature an article on it.
Oh, cool. So that's good to know, because normally people have this question in the IRC and even the mailing list, and people hesitate a lot of writing an article because maybe they're going to write about how to install, I don't know, Skype or any proprietary software that is useful in so many places. And for example, I use Fedora in my work, in my laptop, but I need to communicate with my team via Skype. So I need to install Skype. That doesn't make me free software follower or an open source evangelist like people can say. I mean, I just need to use a software that is a requirement for my job, and I'm not going to be hated about that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would say, as a project, right, Fedora, tends to be, I guess you would call it, if you were to have a dial, right? And that dial was to allow you to measure, you know, at one side of the spectrum, maybe very idealistic, and then maybe at the other end of the spectrum, very pragmatic. I would say the magazine tends to fall more on the pragmatic side. So our dial is kind of turned in a way that is, you know, very tolerant of different kinds of software. Although, of course, we're absolutely focused on Fedora and we like to focus on free software first. We're a little bit more towards the pragmatic side because we understand that people like yourself are using Fedora and they love Fedora and they want, you know, some of them even like yourself want to contribute to Fedora. But they may have specific needs that Fedora, for one reason or another, or even free software as a whole, may not be able to meet currently. And so, you know, we try to remember that those people are out there and that they're part of our user community as well. On the other hand, Fedora as a project, you know, turns the dial more towards the idealistic side, where, you know, we really only include free and open source software in Fedora with very, very few exceptions. And, you know, I think having an outreach based mission for the magazine is the driver for us to have a more pragmatic approach. In other words, that's sort of dictated by our desire to reach out to the most users possible and have them educated and interested and excited about using Fedora on a regular basis.
We have another place when we have a lot of news too, but it's more intended for the community. This is a community operation blog. How is the relationship between the magazine and the com blog?
Oh, that's a great question. So the community blog or com blog, as we call it, is very much like the magazine in terms of being another WordPress based site. And it is absolutely just as easy to be a contributor there as with the magazine. I would say the community blog, though, is more aimed at exposing items of interest to the Fedora community itself. The Fedora community is made up of thousands of people who are doing different kinds of work in and around the project. Some of them are simply maybe maintaining a package or two. Some people are highly involved in grassroots support work where they go and travel to conferences and speak about Fedora and talk to users there and get them interested in the community as well. And whether somebody's in that former group or, you know, really heavily involved, like in the latter group, the com blog is more of an attempt to reach those people and make sure that they are aware of a lot of things that are happening in the Fedora community, in and around the community. And those are the kinds of topics that are highly interesting to Fedora community members, but are probably not interesting as much to the casual Fedora user. So whereas the magazine might be a route for people to get interested in using Fedora, that is sort of the first step towards them possibly becoming contributors later. The com blog is more of an intermediate step. So if you're involved in the community or highly interested in the community, you'll find news there that helps you both be involved or more involved in different parts of the community, but also keeps you aware of what other people are doing so that you can share knowledge, share experiences, and hopefully inform and consult other people around the community about your activities.
Okay, yeah, that's a really, really good explanation. As being the kind of the official news site in the project, do you have contact or any relation with the news sites in the world? I don't know, like Floss News or any other big brand of news? Or they just come to the magazine and grab the articles you write?
So I would say it depends. For some venues, we actually know or are in contact with people who run those sites, and you know, occasionally we might share news with them. We may pick up news that they have run, and sometimes link to their articles as well. In other cases, you know, I would say for the very large sites, We're probably more of a news source for them, so they may pick up our feed and then link to articles that are on the Fedora Magazine site itself. We're actually aiming, I think, to be more of the latter. In other words, to be an authoritative source for information that can be quoted or used in other places. Right? We don't expect that every article that we publish is necessarily going to be of interest to a large site. For example, if we're printing a tip for how a person can change a certain setting on their Fedora workstation to do something interesting, that may not be of interest to every large news site out there. On the other hand, when we post an article about the Fedora 28 beta or Fedora 28 GA coming soon, when we post those announcements, we do expect that bigger news sites are going to grab onto that and, you know, will link back to the official announcement that we carry. So we've also seen that happen with other articles as well. For example, our response to Spectre and Meltdown and some previous security issues of that magnitude generated some links back to our site. And we actually do engage with social media as well. So, for example, when we publish, we typically also spread links to our articles on social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, Google+, and occasionally Reddit or Hacker News, other sites like that, so that people can stay informed no matter what channel they use for getting the latest news.
Okay, that's really nice. Because being part of the marketing team like I am, normally I'm reviewing these other sites, and I see that they use some of our articles, or even they use the developing a news mailing list to take information. So it's a good target to be the feed of this news, because it's official, coming from the project. Is they not grabbing news from gossips anywhere? They are coming to the real source of the news, and that's a really good thing for the project.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we work closely with other community leaders. So, for example, the Fedora project leader or the Fedora community action and impact coordinator. We will work with them on specific announcements or other pieces that we run from time to time, just to make sure that we've got, you know, the right quality and the right quantity of information there, and that it reflects the the voice of the project. So it's important to us as the official source for news and information that, you know, we stay in step with what the community is up to, what they're doing. But at the same time, of course, we're also focusing on our audience specifically and getting that information out to them in an appropriate way and in a timely way.
Yeah, and an interesting part that I saw all the time in the project is even then when we have different teams, like marketing used to have the magazine under their umbrella, but now magazine is an independent team. We have a social media team, and we have the engineering part. We have the Fedora project leader. We have the F-Cake in other part. And how this, all these parts work together to produce everything. For example, the better example that I can do is the podcast itself. I record the podcast. I put it in my podcast feeder. But the magazine is actually the platform that serves me to let people know that it's out there. And one of the most followers I have right now in the podcast are coming from people that read it in the magazine, because it was posted in Facebook or in Twitter. That is the Fedora social media team. That is another team. And so we find a way to engage all the teams together to make this big project to work together. And this is one of the most awesome things to be in this community. And do you have any contact with all these teams, or they kind of work automatically?
Well, to be honest, I think to a large extent, they kind of work automatically and come together where needed. You know, certainly one of the biggest coordination efforts is around releases. And I'd say that's probably where everyone is really working together in concert to try and get one thing done in the best way possible, which is to get the new release of Fedora out the door, which happens about twice a year. And I think in those cases, you find that there's really heavy coordination effort required. And then around that, it tends to be dependent on what the desired result is. For the magazine, because we are highly oriented around providing user-centric information, tips and tricks, information about applications, information about how to use their system well, some educational information. There's how-tos. We sometimes provide, you know, in-depth guides as to how certain systems work in Fedora. That usually doesn't require as much coordination. Honestly, that I think is what makes the magazine a great place for people to start getting involved. Similar to, say, Fedora documentation, you can kind of find an area that you know something about or are interested in, and you can research it, and you can write about it, and you can get published pretty much independently. You don't have to go seek a lot of counsel from people. You don't have to seek advice. You don't have to figure out whether or not your piece is going to fit into a larger narrative, because it's really about just getting that information out there, and it's kind of a self-contained nugget of information that you can put out to the audience. So we find that the magazine really doesn't require that kind of level of handholding. At the same time, there are specific goals or specific efforts where we are trying to link up with larger goals of the project, and in those cases, we may coordinate closely with other groups. For instance, we have the Fedora Developers Conference annually called Flock. That's where the contributors come together and sort of plan out work for the upcoming year. And we usually like to have some kind of output from that event, because what is coming in Fedora is going to affect millions of people who use the Fedora distribution of Linux. So we like to plan some output around that event. That would be an example where we do have a little more of a coordination effort. But then on the other hand, somebody could show up and want to write an article about, say, you know, how to use the LibreOffice application to solve a specific kind of problem, right? And they can write that article as a one-off anytime that they want and really don't need that kind of coordination. So it's kind of the best of both worlds, in my opinion.
So in the magazine, we normally see a consistent looking. For example, all the article have a header image, and they have a certain kind of styles in when you are typing code, or when it's a command line you're going to throw out. So, who decide how to construct the look and feel of the magazine?
Yeah, so we actually have that information is part of the style guide that I referred to more towards the beginning of the podcast. We have some simple rules for how to mark up your article. We really don't require that writers memorize any of that or even stick to it. The editors will fix all that when needed. And we basically have constructed that to be as simple and easy as possible, in a way that matches the style presentation that we provide on the magazine. So the thing that makes, you know, our CSS style sheets that provide a look for the computer output and input that that users will see when they're running a terminal application or something like that. We provided a style guide to make it easy for writers to choose the right style for their markup. And we've put that in our style guide. So if they want to learn it by heart, they're able to. And we really try and make it as simple and readable as possible, as opposed to doing large amounts of markup throughout the text, which can actually break it up and make it very difficult for readers to quickly scan. So we try and eliminate complexity, and we have a simple style markup. There's only a few things that people need to remember. And then that way, both the writers and the readers can concentrate on their activity.
Okay, that's really cool. Also, I want to congratulate you and all the team and Ryan Lerch, because the new team in the magazine really looks amazing. It was implemented like 2 days ago before the recording of this episode.
And yeah, it looks fantastic. Really, really good. Yeah, love it. I love it. It's like it is a really like a spruced up new look for the magazine. And I thought it looked fantastic before. And then I saw, I saw the new style, and not only does it look fantastic, but it's also, it's a little bit easier to parse, visually. And it also looks a little more in line with some of the other Fedora, applications platform that's out there, that our contributors are using from day to day. So it really looks like it belongs to the family of Fedora, on the web.
Yeah, it's really looking amazing. Well, Paul, if you have anything else you want to share with the people outside that you want to, I don't know, maybe tell people, please feel free to do it.
Yeah, I guess, well, first, thank you, Edward, for having me on. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Second, just remind folks that they can find the Fedora Magazine on your favorite search engine, obviously, or just go to fedoramagazine.org. And definitely check out some of the articles there. Get a feel for the magazine. If you're interested in writing something, it's very easy to write for us. And again, you can use your favorite search engine, Google or whatever. Just look for how to write an article for the Fedora Magazine, and you'll end up on our guide. And it will describe the process that you can go through to become a contributor. We would love to have people contribute to the magazine, and we look forward to seeing them in future editions and maybe at our meetings.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, for coming. I know you are always busy, and it was a really refreshing conversation about the magazine. This was the fifth episode. We try to post every 2 weeks, and hope you to see you later, people. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Fedora Podcast. See you in 2 weeks with more interesting interviews.